Blog Talk Radio.
We're going back to the New Bethel Baptist Church. Of this recording produced by the great Reverend James Cleveland, one of my mentors on the piano. Small churches and city auditoriums.
God bless you tonight. We're talking about we're going into our thing that we're going into today. But I want to say to you, give me a call. Pearl, call me now. Give me a call. I don't know what happened. Lisa, I'm praying for you. Russell, I'm praying for you. Every letter, every telephone call. Let's go into some stuff that we need to go into. Let's talk about
I'm going to call myself my name. will terrify. And if you don't think you see it, you are listening to the historic result of character and decision on the third day. You'll see other countries. It's impossible for to produce a dust even though they both belong to the same humanity of power, so-called power. A chicken just doesn't have the within its person to produce. Your owner can do it, but they need to make it in existence because the woman should not be produced. The system of this country cannot be produced between the human body and the human man.
I'm going to
Sometimes you have to wait for things to open up for you. That's right. It seems like they don't want you to know what's wrong or as you were happening in the Apple world.
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. If you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing stand in your way. I want you to listen, listen
to every word I say, every word I say.
Ain't no stopping us now.
And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shows together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Well,
don't you let nothing, nothing
stand in your way.
I want y'all to
services extended and your great friendliness. And I particularly want to thank the committee, especially Mr. the eloquent words that he uttered yesterday at the ceremony and yesterday evening at the banquet. I can assure you that all of these expressions of support are of an estimable value for the continuance of my humble efforts to make brotherhood, freedom, and justice realities in the United States of America. This evening, I would like to use this lofty historic platform to discuss what it would be the most pressing problem confronting mankind today. Modern man has brought the whole world to an awe-inspiring threshold of the future. An astonishing piece of scientific success. He has produced machines that think, and instruments that appear to the unfathomable ranges of intelligent space. He has built a gigantic bridges to span the sea, and gargantuan buildings to kiss the skies. His aerial spaceships have dwarfed distance, and carved highways through the stratosphere. This is a dazzling picture of modern man's scientific and technological progress. Yes, science and technology, and still unlimited knowledge to come. Something basic is missing. That is a sort of poverty of the spirit. It's in the comparing context of our scientific and technological abundance. The richer we have become materially, the poorer we have become morally and spiritually. We have learned to fly the air like but we have not learned the simple cause of living together in brotherhood. Every man lives in two realms, the internal and the external. Literature, the external lives in a complex of devices, techniques, mechanisms, and instrumentalities. By today we have allowed the internal to become lost in the external. We have allowed our meaning life to live, to outdistance the ends from which we live. So much of my life can see progress in that arresting dictum of the fourth parole, improve the means to end. This is a serious predicament, the deep and high problem confronting modern man. We are to survive today. Our moral and spiritual lag must be eliminated. Enlarged material power spelled in large peril. That is not our problem. So, without man, the gates within, dark clouds begin to form in the world. The problem of spiritual and moral lag, which constitutes modern itself in three larger problems, which grow out of man's infantilism. each of these problems while appearing to be separate and isolated. In our incarceration victims, poverty, and war. The first problem that I would like to is racial injustice. The struggle to eliminate constitutes the main struggles of our time. The president serves the people of the United States grows out of a deep and passionate determination to make freedom and equality here and now. In one sense, the civil rights movement in the United States is a special American phenomenon which must be understood in American history and dealt with in American history. But on another more important level, what is happening in the United States today is a relatively small part of a world development. We live in a day that is a lot of our output and civilization is a big outlook, major turning point in history, where the presuppositions on which society is structured being analyzed, sharp challenge, profound we are seeing out of the free schools. The realization of an idea whose time has come, to use Victor Hugo's phrase. The deep rumbling of the patient that we hear today is the thunder of the disinherited masses rising from dungeons of oppression to the bright hills of freedom. In one majestic chorus, the rising man singing the words of the song, and let nobody come us around. All over the world like a fever, the freedom movement is spreading in the widest liberation in history. The great masses of people are determined to take they are awake and moving. You can hear them rumbling on the dark night among the students in the churches and at political meetings. Historic movement was for several centuries that had a nation of Western Europe out of the rest of the world in conquest of various sorts. That period of imperialism is at an end. East is meeting west. The earth is being redistributed. As we are shifting our political outlooks. Now these developments should not surprise any student of history. Oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. Yearning for freedom eventually manifests itself. The Bible tells us a thrilling story of how Moses stood in Pharaoh's court centuries ago and cried, "Let my people go." This is a kind of and struggle in the United States is a later chapter. And the same unfolds. Something within has reminded the Negro of his birthright of freedom. And something without has reminded him that he can't consciously or unconsciously. He has been caught up by the zeitgeist. And with his black brothers of Africa, and his brown and yellow brothers in Asia, South America, and the Caribbean. The United States Negroes is a great for the promised land of racial justice. Fortunately, some significant strides have been made in the struggle to end the long night of racial injustice. We have seen the magnificent drama of independence of the system of racial segregation. The Supreme Court's decision of 1954 outlawing segregation in public schools. The court decreed separate inherently unequal, and that the segregated child on the basis of his race is to deny that protection. This decision came as a grim beacon light of hope to millions of disinherited people. Then came the growing day of 2 weeks ago, when a strong civil rights bill came to vote. This bill, which was voted by President Kennedy, was passed because of the overwhelming support and perseverance of millions of Americans, Negro and white. It came in as a president. Along and sometimes very struggle for civil rights, the beginning of the Second Emancipation Proclamation, providing a comprehensive legal basis for equality of opportunity. Since the passage of the bill, we have seen some encouraging and promising signs of compliance. I'm happy to report that by and large, communities all over the southern part of the United States are obeying civil rights law and enjoying the process. Another indication that progress was being made was found in the recent presidential election in the United States. The American people revealed great victory by overwhelmingly rejecting a presidential candidate who had become racist. The voters of our nation rendered a telling blow to the radical right. They defeated those elements in our society which seek to pit against Negroes and lead the nation on the way for such a path. The problem is far from solved. We still have a long, long way to go before the dream of freedom is a reality for the United States. To put it figuratively and biblically, we have left the dust of all crossed the Red Sea. War on that year by a long and piercing winter of massive resistance. Before we reach the metaphysical, that is a frustrating and bewildering wilderness ahead. We must still face business hills and gigantic mountains of resistance. With patience and we will press on until every valley of despair is the new peaks of hope. Until every mountain is crossed in irrationality, is made known by the fullness of humility and compassion. Until transformed into a smooth plane of equality and opportunity. And until the crooked faces of prejudice are transformed by the straightening process of bright-eyed wisdom. What the main sections of democracy in the United States is that the demand for dignity, equality, justice, and citizenship will not be abandoned or diluted or postponed. If that means resistance and conflict, we shall not fight. We shall not be cowed. We are no longer afraid. The word that symbolizes the spirit and the outward form of our encounter is nonviolence. And it is doubtless that factor which made it seem appropriate for the world of peace brought us to begin where our struggle has meant not relying on arms and weapons for struggle. It has meant non-cooperation, customs and laws, with the institutional aspects of the regime of discrimination and enslavement. It has meant direct registration of masses in protest, rather than reliance on indirect methods, which frequently do not involve masses in action at all. Nonviolence has also meant that my people, in the agonizing struggles of recent years, have taken suffering upon themselves instead of inflicting it on others. It has meant, as I said, that in some degree, it has meant that we do not want to instill fear in others or into the society of which we are a part.